welcome, very warm welcome to Colin McLeod, who is a very long time member of the community, and I especially want to emphasize his English style. So be always polite.
Scottish
style, I'm sorry. to three Scotsmen in the room, so I'm sorry for that. And we recently had a discussion, and I will present that also in my presentation about the state of Tickle later on. And Colin played a major role also in moderating, and we had in the past some other situations like that, and community buildings also to keep technical and to keep reasonable and to make the best idea win and so on. And Colin always acted in that spirit, so I want to thank him for this role in the community. Yeah, that's really important. Okay, so today his speech, he didn't want to speak about the critical things of the past, but his speech today is a wibbly wobbly web server.
Yeah.
So it is a triple W server. So Colin, thank you.
Right, yet another web server. There are quite a lot of them around, but anyway, I was thinking about earlier when listening to the Navi server stuff, that if you thought about these things as means of transportation, then Navi server is kind of like an Airbus. It has huge capacity, but also quite a bit of complexity. This thing is more like a bicycle. It's very basic, but it's fairly simple. And I think it can be useful in some circumstances. So, so last year I talked about a system I have called NewsGrouper, which is a web interface to Usenet News. And when I started working on that, I was using the old Tickle HTTPD server, which is really old, but you know, was working quite well, and I was using that. But I have to apologize for misleading people in that talk, because I said that Tickle HTTPD was handling requests concurrently by using threads. And I thought it was, because I'd set it up in theory to do that. But then later on I discovered it actually wasn't doing that. It was just handling them in series one after another. So if you got something slow, it would block until that was finished, and that's quite important for this application, because the way that NewsGrouper works is that it has a lot of things cached locally, but sometimes it has to go away and talk to another server, which and make several requests to another server, and that can end up taking several seconds. So you've got some requests that can be served in a millisecond or so, and you've got other requests that might take 4 or 5 seconds. You don't want to hold up keep all the little fast ones waiting for the slow ones. So I decided that was not really acceptable. Spent a while trying to debug the problem with Tickle HTTPD and didn't really get very far, because it's quite big and complicated. It's about 15,000 lines of code. There's a lot of stuff in it that I just wasn't using, and that was just basically getting in the way. So I kind of struggled with it, and trying to debug thread stuff is not too easy in the best of circumstances. But so then I decided to look around for something else, something simpler that I could actually get my head around and have a chance of debugging if I needed to. I looked at quite a number of different things. I did look at Navi server a bit, but I just felt it was over the top for my requirements. There are a number of other things around, as to there's a Tickle HTTPD, there's the HTTPD thing which is in Tickle Web, which I looked at a bit and didn't like it much because it seemed both overcomplicated and under documented. After a bit, I came to the Wibble server, which has been around also for quite a while and some people might be familiar with, and it is a lot smaller. It's written by a guy called Andy Goth, who seems to have abandoned it because there are no updates since 2014, but I know there are still some people using it. But I looked at that and
the Tickle Wiki uses it.
Sorry?
So Tickle Wiki is
really?
Driven by Google, as far as I know.
I'm not sure about that. So I like the low-level stuff in Wibble, the sort of basic protocol and so on. I wasn't so keen on the kind of higher-level interface with the rest of the application code. It has a different approach to concurrency. It's designed to use code routines, so you can have each request being served in a different code routine. And switch between them in that way, and that works fine for what I need. In some ways, it's easier than Threads, but easier to debug and very easy to share data between different requests just by putting stuff in global variables and so on. So Wibble has some really nice stuff, but it has, on top of that, it has this system with what it calls zone handlers, where you define different handler code for different kinds of requests, or different requests in different bits of your tree of paths that you're serving, and I didn't need that because I already had code. Tickle HTTPD had something like that as well, which I'd kind of started off using and then dumped because it just got in the way and I ended up writing my own stuff for that. So I didn't like that very much. Also, I was used to looking at the log of requests sort of coming in to just see what's happening. And particularly see when you're getting blasted with hacking attempts and AI crawlers and all that sort of thing. And Wibble didn't have any sort of logging like that at all. It had some very limited logging, but not logging all of the requests that come in at all. So I felt I needed that. I even had one or two utility programs to sort of read the logs and generate some statistics and so on. So I wanted to add the request logging back in, and I wanted to strip out the zone handler stuff because it's just a lot of extra complication I didn't need. So I ended up taking Wibble and sort of stripping some stuff out of it and putting some more stuff into it. So I ended up with something which is kind of based on Wibble, but it's not compatible with Wibble, so I can't really call it Wibble anymore. But because it's similar to Wibble, I call it Wibbly. So that's where the name comes from. So this is the change that I made. It also had, for the coroutine, for the kind of coordination between different coroutines, because it was written quite early on, it had a system of its own for coordinating requests and processing different coroutines. I just stripped all that out and just replaced it with the coroutine util stuff, which is in TickleLib, which which does the same job in a much simpler way. And it also had some quite complicated stuff for how you would specify headers, things that you wanted to put in the headers and in the request that you were going, in the response that you were going to send back, which again, I just didn't see the point of it. I just, it was just extra complications. I stripped all that out as well. Added request logging. Then another thing I ended up wanting was, because I have a project I'm trying to work on, but I haven't got very far with, for which I wanted the SCGI, which is the kind of new improved version of the ancient Common Gateway interface for driving other programs from a web server. It has the advantage that instead of firing off a new program for every request, you just have one program that keeps running and you just open a socket to it and send it something to process and it sends you something back. So I added on something to do that as well. And okay, yeah, then what happens when a request comes in? I already had a load of code that was written just based around the way that Tickle HTTP did that, where I would just take the request and I would have my own code to sort of break it down and look at what kind of a request it was and generate what I wanted to send back. And that didn't fit with the kind of zone handler system at all that was in the original Wibble. So I wanted something that would allow me to use that code without having to kind of restructure it completely. I started off trying to recreate the whole Tickle HTTP API, but that was kind of awkward. But ended up with something which is kind of has a similar structure, but is not exactly the same. And that's spaced around objects, Tickle O objects, which I call a web object. And the methods on that web object are basically the interface between your application code and the server code. So the wobs are defined in a class called wobbly, because the characteristic of wobs is that they are wobbly. So that's how you get the wibbly wobbly web server. So that object that your code gets passed when a request comes in has methods on it to find out all the stuff like what path was requested, whether any cookies sent, form data, blah blah. And there are also methods to set up the response that you went to send, that you're going to send back, HTML or error, redirect, blah blah blah. So that's the kind of theory, and then I just want to show a few simple examples of what this looks like. So I've got a few little demonstration programs here. The first one, demo one. This is like the simplest possible server. The Wibble stuff is in a particular module, so set up a pass to find that package require. I just call the serve, and I'm going to the event loop because you can run this. This runs in the event loop, so you can have other event loop things going on at the same time. You can even be serving different. You can even be serving multiple ports. You can have a server for the HTTP port, another server for the HTTPS port, or you can be doing TK events and stuff as well. and everything has a default, so you could just run serve without specifying anything at all. So if I do I'm not in the right direction here. Started this earlier, so I'm just going to do that again, and that's the default that you get if you don't specify anything to process the request, just echoes back this information about what the request was, and it starts on port 8080, so you can tell different ports to use or whatever. If you look at the IP address there, this should work if any of you are on the local Wi-Fi network and you have something with a web browser in it. You should be able to go to that address just with HTTP 10.12.0.59 and port 8080, and you should be able to get the same thing. If anybody feels like trying it.
That's how secure the university is. Yeah. I've got 500 records down here, plugging those behind the printer port just to prove the purpose.
Yeah.
Big impact.
Okay. So this writes a log, which defaults to just living in /TMP, but again, it's just something you can configure. So I'll look at the log. Okay, so not much there so far. I'll request that again myself. So that's the most basic thing you can do. This is something slightly more useful. This is just what you need if you want to serve a basic static website. So you call the serve and pass it a handler routine. My handler here. My handler gets called with one of these web objects. It then asks the web object for the path. If it's asking for root, then it does a redirect. Again, it's a method on the WOB object redirect to index. Otherwise, let's see if it's a file under htdocs directory. Do a file response if it exists. Otherwise, send back a 404 error. Under htdocs, I've got a few example files. So now start that one. That's that's the index file. And
so now we add first the redirect and then the call to the index file.
Yeah, exactly. Each of these is coming up in the log. Okay. Now, there is a kind of deliberate mistake in this. I'll look at the last docs. I've got a file in here called secret text, which is not readable by anybody. So if I go here and ask for that. That fails and you get an error. But it's usually not a very good idea to expose the bare error message to your end user. Partly because it's probably not very useful to them, but if they're trying to dig into your system, then it might give them information you don't really want to show. So you want to know what happens, so it writes an error log. Again, defaults to living in /TMT, but we can move it. So here we have and that gives you the full error info. Couldn't open file, permission denied, blah 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 blah, and you get all the stuff in here. Right, next. So that's enough to serve a static site, but I'm more interested in dynamically generated pages. So the next one is again, the basic setup is the same, but the my handler is different. This generates some HTML and then calls wob HTML response to just return that HTML. And this uses a template thing, which is just copied directly over from Wibble. I haven't changed the template stuff at all. It's very simple, but it's really quite effective. You can give it a chunk of HTML, but if a line starts with a percent sign, then it gets executed as typical code. All the other lines just get treated as HTML to go into the output. So you can have a for each loop here that outputs this stuff, and this is looping over a list of colors here. So let's run this. Actually still asking for secret.txt, but because this code doesn't care what path you asked it for, it returns the same thing in any case. So I've got a little form here, a little survey form. And if I click something here, and I can submit that, and you can see in the log it got sent, but at the moment there's no code to actually respond to the input. So the next one is the same thing, but adding a little bit of code to respond when the path is reply, which is what the form returns. Actually, I need to go back a sec. I've added a color scores, global dict, and then I'm taking the reply, wob get form data, just gives you all the form data that was submitted, whether it's get or
post.
Get the post, yeah. And then we've added a thing down here where it reads out the score for each colour. So I'm going to do that. So that's very simple form processing.
So is that stored in the dictionary if you were to kill the server and restart it?
It's just in the memory. Yeah, so it's just, you kill it, it's gone. But obviously, if you're doing something more serious, you would stick it in a database. Or, somebody voted for green, okay. Right, okay. Right, that's that. Okay, demo four is. Demo 4 is just to show the SCGI processing. Again, this one's quite simple. Here I start up a Fossil source code management system. Can run as an SCGI server. Now it can also run as an HTTP server directly, but it doesn't give me any access. It doesn't give me any log of the requests when you run it like that. So this is just. I have plans to do more with this, but just running it like this. This is starts up Fossil in SCGI mode. And then sets up a handler here, which just calls SCGI method on here, which just passes the whole request through to the SCGI server on that port. Understand the reply thing that I've got here in the request. So let's take that out. Okay, and that's now the Fossil repository, a copy of the Fossil repository for the newsgroup or code. But you can see that the requests going into that are getting logged here, which they wouldn't be you were just running also on its own. I've got one more little thing. I'm not sure if it's worth doing. Yeah.
Go. Go.
All right. Okay. Right. So. Demo 4B is the same thing as that, but adding one little extra element, which is anybody that runs a web server these days will have seen, or anytime, just about, will have seen requests for the dreaded wp-login.php, which is a favourite for would-be crackers to request, because as somebody was saying earlier, a huge proportion of web servers run on WordPress, and there are some, there have been anyway, some vulnerabilities in WordPress that people keep trying to exploit. Even if you're not running anything related to WordPress, you'll still see requests coming in from WP, blah, 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 blah. So in the handler here, I've got a thing that looks for, well, actually, this is just looking for anything .php, and I'm not using PHP. If that matches, then call the coroutine after, which is the kind of coroutine aware version of after, which will delay for 10 seconds, but keeps the event loop active so that other requests can get processed. During that time, then sends back a 404 error. I find that putting in a delay like that is just quite an effective way of kind of slowing them down. Some of them will wait for quite a while before they give up. Anyway, so
you could return a sound file.
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah. Now I have code to return work and other things, but I'm just trying to keep it simple here. Yeah. Run that one instead. Okay. Now we come up to here. So this still has the CGI stuff. If that doesn't match, so if I refresh that, you still get the news grouper, and you can still, go around there. But if I go and ask for abc.php, it just sits and waits. Go back to here and just ask for abcd.php. Did that happen? Didn't happen. Okay, so that's waiting, but at the same time, I can click this one, and that one gets served even though this one is still waiting. So the concurrency works, that's the point. you can have one thing that's waiting for something slow, and that similar if you're waiting for requests to some remote system or whatever. So that's, yeah, that's about it really.
Colin McLeod. Any questions?
I've got a couple.
Yes, the source code.
1 second. There's a page on the wiki about it anyway, if anybody wants to find some more information.
Yes, perhaps Frank, in the time we have questions, you can switch your back your computer. So we.
Yeah, it's just
a question machine, Andreas.
I want to refer to that one page where you have the template, the Bibli template.
Yeah.
And in the template, there is a square bracketed ticker command. And I would like to know, is this template system, is this something that you got from the original Vibber?
Yes, that's.
And how does it resolve the command? Does it just do a subst on it?
Basically, yeah, it does subst on everything, basically, yeah. So
the
commands and variables.
Is substed and then produced?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Any other questions?